I'm Stephen John Drew.
I'm Chris Farrell.
And I'm Steve Boyd, and we're the hosts of Walking the Walking Dead,
a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the one you're listening to now!
The opinions expressed are those of each individual.
Check out other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
Now get ready, because geekiness begins in 3...
2...
1...
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for SHIELD debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the SHIELD director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast number the Big 5-0, covering Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 2, Episode 7, The Writing on the Wall. This podcast is recorded Thursday, November 12th, 2014. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the American Broadcast Company television show, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., copyright Disney Corporation, and the general Marvel Universe.
Because of Adelan.
If you want to talk to us about Adelan, find out what Adelan is, or anything along those lines, you can contact us at our website, legendsofshield.com. Our voicemail, 844-THE-BUS-1, that's 844-843-2871. Our Facebook, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast. Our Twitter, at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Our Tumblr, legendsofshield.tumblr.com. Our YouTube, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. And our forums at forums.gunnageek.com or search Gunna Geek on Tapatalk.
That's all one word, no spaces, Gunna Geek. Say, we did get some feedback this week talking about ways to contact us. Both Andy and Adana Girl did some live and delayed tweeting when watching the episode. We really appreciate the interaction, guys. It is fun. Also, we heard from Jay, who is a co-host of both Haley and mine on other podcasts, such as the Gallifrey Public Radio, the Doctor Who podcast on the Gunna Geek Network, and the Starling Tribune. Wonderful podcast on the Gunna Geek Network about the CW show Arrow. Anyway, he said, this was too perfect not to share with you guys. I want to see a Ladies of S.H.I.E.L.D. show now. Did you guys see the link that he linked to?
I'm looking at it now.
I'm looking at it right now, and I love it.
Mm-hmm.
On BuzzFeed.com, it's 17 perfect Marvel headcanons that will give you all the feels. Headcanons, for those of you who maybe don't hang around Tumblr as much as I do because I spend way too much time on the internet. But those are basically where people are thinking like, okay, well, this didn't happen on screen, but it could have or it should. So in my mind, this is what happens off screen.
Like a little example.
Yes.
Cyber Brig being handles is headcanon for some people now.
I see what you did there.
Little Doctor Who.
Yes. And for those of you who don't know what Haley's talking about, listen to Gallifrey Public Radio.
Yes, please do. Wonderful podcast this week about the season 8 finale of Doctor Who.
But yes, this on BuzzFeed is pretty great. It's some Tumblr headcanons about Marvel combined with GIFs and comic panels and just a lot of fun. And there's some good ones.
There is. And I will echo his sentiment. I would love to see a Ladies of S.H.I.E.L.D. show now, especially after all the great ladies that we've seen on screen this season. Also on Facebook, we got a hold of a Karen Gillan photo talking about GPR. This is going to be the GPR Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. crossover episode, I guess. And it was the photo of somebody on the Captain American bicycle. Motorcycle.
Motorcycle. A little bit different.
Sorry. Speaking of Captain America, I just got to the one where Steve Rogers is Steve Rogers. Every time Steve Rogers has sex, a bald eagle is born. No wonder they're endangered.
So I assume it's Captain America on the bike, or on the bike. We'll just call it bike. It'll be easier for me.
That works.
But we've seen also May riding a motorcycle in Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah, she's in the podcast room here riding the motorcycle. No, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And also we've seen in the trailer Black Widow also riding a motorcycle. I'm not sure if it's the same motorcycle or not. So we'll just assume it's Captain America. And in the background, there's a TARDIS. And so we shared the poster on our Facebook feed. And we also put in a little note. Is that a TARDIS or a chicken coop, Gallifrey Public Radio? And that, of course, is referring to Gallifrey Public Radio host Keir's TARDIS chicken coop that he has. And I can only assume it was Keir that responded back, although it could be our very own Haley, because she is also a co-host on Gallifrey Public Radio. So we'll have to ask her. But the Gallifrey Public Radio Facebook back, the Doctor, already had a device that can download comics from the future. It makes sense that he'd like to see the filming. And that's a perfect comeback. That's great. Because, yes, as we saw in the 50th, he does have a device that can download comics from the future.
Which means if I had that ability, I would have centuries of comics ahead of me to read.
You're barely a decade into it.
And we'd never hear from her again.
No, we would not.
Do you have any idea how many more comics I could read if I quit podcasting?
Yes, so I do, actually. More. I know, me too. I haven't been able to progress past the first 25 because all the podcasts.
To be fair, the first 300 are pretty rough.
Yeah.
At about 300, there's a switch.
It's like the first five or so podcasts and then, you know, you get your groove. Only in this case, 300.
Right. Well, that's about the point where Stan Lee quits writing everything, and so there starts to be a little bit more diversity in what you're reading.
All right.
You have that to look forward to.
Also on Facebook, we did share it's not a new trailer, it's just extended scenes of the same trailer for Avengers Age of Ultron, and Richard wrote us back. He said, once again, May can't get here fast enough. Also, Spader plays Psycho so well. So my suggestion to you, Richard, is go after the TARDIS, try to get on board and have the Doctor take you to May and then come back. And I think you'd be just fine.
You end up as the Doctor's newest companion. You go, you find out all the stuff that happens in the Marvel MCU, you know, the last movie they make and everything. And then you're like, yep, that's it. I'm done. Don't need to save the day. Don't need to do anything. I'm done.
Just been like a week traveling with the Doctor, jumping ahead 6 months every time. He's like, what are we doing here? I got to go to a movie theater real quick.
I'll be back in 2 hours.
Yeah. Just spend the whole time watching movies.
All of time and space.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Of course, I would
take a side trip to go watch the new Star Wars movies, see how they do.
But you don't ever spring to go see it like opening weekend. You always go to like the $3 films. Yeah.
So I would pull the Back to the Future 2 thing and try to get a sports book with 50 or 100 years of sports winners, Super Bowl winners, whatever, and bet on them, you know, Kentucky Derby winners, and then make my billions and create my own hall of whatever it's called.
Biff World.
Yeah. Yeah. SP World.
That's still just too much work for me. I would just go watch the movies, maybe get some books, take some pictures.
Well, you really only need to make one bet and win. Like, you just find one that had amazing odds.
But see, what if it's the whole, you've changed the results by measuring them thing? So you make that bet and you change it, and then, great, just because you wanted to make $500, you have screwed the entire timeline.
No, you don't want to make $500, you want to make $5 billion.
Yeah, I know.
See, I think it's just safer to just go to the movies.
Yeah, it's probably safer, but I would want to make money off of it. Like,
wait. We've got a TARDIS. You just make the TARDIS appear in the middle of a bank vault, fill it with cash, and then go back to your own timeline where you're not a fugitive.
You know what? I've got one better for you, because there's tons of shipwrecks out there laden with precious metals. So you just go find one of those and you don't.
Oh my God, you're right. Go find it as it's sinking, so it's not even a crime.
Yeah, that's right. See? Maritime salvage. That's what the TARDIS is all about. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, moving on. In the forum, Starsaver hit us back after last episode, and he said, hey, some details and speculations on the idea of Joss leaving the MCU. And I did take a look at this IO9 article. I took a look at it before I saw it on the forum, but thank you very much for posting it on the forum. And it's some interesting speculation.
I'm taking a look at it now.
One of the things is that he will go back to, because it's a lot of work, because he's not only directing the Avengers films, but he's also doing long-range storyboarding.
Mm-hmm. Right. He's making sure all the movies fit in with the timeline that's going to need to exist to get to the next Avengers movie.
Right. And in this particular case, the speculation is that he needs a little bit me time, and he would go off and do Dr. Horrible 2.
I want Dr. Horrible 2 so bad.
Mm-hmm. Now, my hope is that he's involved in the Wonder Woman movie, but unfortunately, or fortunately, we have a little bit of DC news that will smatter in here because it's relevant, and it looks like they're honing in on a director for Wonder Woman.
Right. The latest rumor is Michelle McLaren, who you might know as a director from Game of Thrones and...
Walking Dead,
Breaking Bad...
Like, all the things that are really, really good, that's her.
She did an episode of The Leftovers. She's doing an episode of Better Call Saul.
And usually we don't talk DC stuff here, but the only reason I wanted to bring it up because there was a lot of speculation on Joss leaving because of the Wonder Woman movie, and I just don't think that's going to happen.
And a lot of that speculation was coming from me.
Well, I think a lot of it was coming from the fans, absolutely. But there's some legitimacy to it since he brought a Wonder Woman treatment to Warner at one point.
Warner Brothers, yeah, before he did the Avengers. And they said, no, we don't want a big giant pile of cash, and sent him packing.
Warner. So we also did get an email from Jay. And remember, we've been asking everybody, you know, send us your questions, send us how you feel about the science of Avengers or Marvel. How do you feel about this and that? And one thing we asked is, what is your top 5 Marvel characters? And Jay got a hold of me and he said, hey, Star Pie, have I sent you my top 5 Marvel characters? And I'm like, you know, I think you did, but I can't remember. So I did a little searching. I don't think we talked about it on the cast. So he sent me his right order characters, top 5 in the Marvel Universe. So number 5 is Kane, which is the failed Spider-Man clone, later stabilized and is now Scarlet Spider. Number 4 is Spider-Man 2099. Number 3 is Spider-Man, the Miles Morales. Number 2 is Spider-Man, Ben Reilly. And number 1 is Spider-Man.
I'm sensing a theme.
Yeah. He says, oh, okay, wait, I'm kidding. Well, kind of. For real now. Now, if, for those of you that don't know, Jay is a huge Spider-Man fan. So this is his real top 5 characters in the Marvel Universe. Number 5 is the Hulk. So good call there. Number 4 is Deadpool.
Woo!
Number 3 is Venom.
The Eddie Brock Venom.
Yes. Number 2 is Gambit, which is interesting because now there's a Gambit movie in the works. And number 1 is Spider-Man, the Peter Parker version, though my favorite costume is the Ben Reilly version from the Sensational Spider-Man title. And I will agree with you that that's great. Now, I kidded Jay when he said this and I said, yeah, nice PJs. But in reality, yes, I think it's great art and I do love how it looks. So, yes, please get a hold of us on all the ways. We do have a voicemail line that's 844-THE-BUS-1 or 844-843-2871. You can get a hold of us and tell us what your choices for an all-female Avengers team-up would be, what kind of sport Agent Coulson would have played in high school or school in general. What would you think of the episode? Your top 5 Marvel characters or the science of Marvel, Avengers, any of those would be great. So we had a couple of movies, interesting movies come out this weekend, but the one we're interested in is the true Marvel movie of the weekend, right?
Yeah, Big Hero 6 came out this weekend and it was number 1 at the box office, and I still haven't seen it yet, but I'm going to because I'm off this weekend.
I haven't seen it yet either because I promised my husband that I'd wait until he was home to see it. So hopefully I'll be going to see it this weekend.
Here's what you do. You go and see it and you don't tell him you went and saw it. And then he's like, hey, you ready to go see that movie? You're like, oh yeah, I can't wait to see it.
See, I would have done that, except I was also feeling absolutely horrible for most of the weekend. Like physically, not just like, oh, the guilt, right. The guilt. Because I would only have felt a little guilty. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. And everything I've heard of it makes it sound great.
I had plans to go see both movies because essentially it was a 4-day weekend for me with the holidays and stuff. I really didn't have Monday off, but I made it a light work day. And unfortunately, because the polar vortex coming in, I had to do a ton of yard work. I had to get the patio furniture in. I had to redo the garage so to fit all the cars in and stuff like that before the snow came. So I didn't get to see either. And I'm beating my head against my microphone right now because I really wanted to see him. So hopefully this weekend I will have time to at least see one of them. That is because Interstellar is the other one, but Big Hero 6.
Yeah, I still need to see that one too.
Right.
Yeah, which I've heard is really good.
I've heard that story-wise, it's pretty fun, but the science in it is fairly terrible. So, you know, I guess it'll be a repeat of Gravity for me.
I know, and I finally saw Gravity a few weeks back, just let it play again and again on the weekend in the background on the DVD player. I was like, I'm glad I didn't pay to see this in the theater.
I liked it, but if you go see it with a rocket scientist, they will complain.
Yes, yes. You know, I need to get together with Scott some point in time.
You really do.
Yeah, we could have great
talks. I need to try to drag him onto this show. I really need to.
You know, Scott, I know you're listening.
He's not.
If not as we're recording later, I know you're checking up on your wife, and good on you for that. But
he does not.
I would like to hear you on the podcast, Scott. So, Lauren, if you need me to snip out that segment and I will send it to him as an MP3 file, we can do that. All right. Also, in the movie realm, we're ramping down, I think, on this. The Guardians of the Galaxy numbers, what do you got, Haley?
They're kind of tapering off at this point. So domestic, we have 330 million, and worldwide, we have 768 million. And the number we're really watching, because there is a quarter riding on this, is the Chinese box office, which is sitting at 96.5 million as of the 9th.
You know what? At this point in time, I'm really hoping it doesn't make 100.
It's going to just like barely eke over 100.
I know.
We're going to have to give Wing quarters, and it's just going to make us all feel dirty. We're going to have to give them those stupid Canadian quarters too, aren't we?
I know. I feel like William Shatner in Star Trek II at the moment going, Wing! So, anyway, I heard something interesting about the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. overnight ratings from 2 weeks ago, or not the overnight ratings, but the L plus 7 ratings. I heard it got over a 3-point bump from L plus 7.
Oh.
Yeah, there's about a 2-week delay on the Live plus 7, so we're probably not going to talk for specific episodes on the podcast. But I did look at a trend for the last few weeks, and they've been seeing a 75 to 80% increase in ratings from plus 7 numbers.
That is just incredible. And it goes to show you how people are actually consuming the show legally. And I would love to see illegal numbers. I know that Gotham is just reaping the rewards of that. But I mean, it's a double-edged sword. The studio or the network doesn't get to profit off of it at all, but they do get the viewership. So I'm not sure how to take that at this point in time.
Yeah, until they really start using a lot of product placement instead of traditional advertising revenue, they're probably not going to care that much about these plus 7 numbers.
Which is going to be really hard for shows like Gotham and Agent Carter, which are basically timepieces.
Right. I mean, they really need to be looking into other ways to monetize their content, though, because the way people watch TV is changing. And we've been saying this for years.
Mm-hmm.
They need to catch up with the times instead of trying to lock people into an old model that doesn't really reflect our lifestyles anymore.
You know, I know there's Hulu Plus out there, but I'll be really interested since CBS now is on a pay mentality where they are giving away their content if you pay them individually. And I'll be very interested as to how Supergirl fares in that sort of realm. So we'll see. I'll also be interested to see if CBS actually starts prosecuting people that other means the shows as well, which I doubt is going to happen, but is a possibility. We'll see. But okay, we have numbers on here, Haley. Is this for last week?
Right. This is this week's numbers, which is 4.27 million. That's just the live plus same day numbers, which is pretty similar to what we've been seeing all along this season.
Mm-hmm. And if you consider like an 80% jump, you're talking about a 7 or 8 rating. That's actually pretty good.
Well, 7 or 8 million viewers.
Right. That's actually pretty good. That's not great, but it's more than enough to continue the show.
Right.
Yeah. So talking about the show, we ran into an article. It's an ABC kind of promotional piece, but if you take a look at the videos on this, it encapsulates all the fun reasons why you want to watch the show in this season. And the article was titled, The 7 Reasons to Get Hooked on Season 2 of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
So this article is on abc.go.com. And yeah, I kind of got to agree with pretty much most of the reasons. Number one, Bad Ward is so good. And I think we've all talked about how much more interesting he got when he went evil.
Yeah, he's so much fun to hate.
Yeah, he really is. And especially this episode, once, as we'll discuss later, he shaves off the beard of evil and starts smarmily making phone calls. Yeah, it was like, oh, hey, evil Ward is back again.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that later because I got theories on both ways on that.
Fitzsimmons 2.0 is reason number two. And they're talking about how watching them try to redefine their relationship is interesting. And I will agree, it's kind of heartbreaking, but it's interesting.
And we'll talk about that for this episode as well.
Also, yes, also getting to see them apart and having to kind of function on their own has also helped with that. Number three, aliens are among us.
No.
To quote that one guy from the History Channel, I'm not saying it was aliens, but aliens.
It was totally aliens.
Which we'll talk about in this episode as well.
Which we will also talk about in this episode. Number four, Hydra is so fun to hate. Another thing I'll agree on, Bakshi and Whitehall are pretty good villains.
Mm-hmm.
Number five, May is an even bigger badass. We have also talked about this at length.
Did you guys see the clip for this?
The May fights her imposter?
Yeah, it starts with Coulson saying, I can't believe I'm the only one seeing this. And it just goes from there. It is one of the best clips of the season, I think. It's great.
And then number six is Kyle MacLachlan as the Doctor. Who, well, yes, they said, oh, hey, Kyle MacLachlan's going to be on the show. And I started cheering.
Yay.
And he's been pretty great. I mean, granted, we haven't seen that much of him yet, but every time we see him, it's been good. And number seven, Hunter and Bobby's chemistry crackles. Yes, Bobby is basically what's gotten me to appreciate Lance Hunter a little more.
Yeah.
Because them just sniping at each other is fun.
I know. I love their bickering.
It's great.
Yeah.
They had a little give and go today, and it was all business, but it was just fun listening to them talk back and forth on the two buses. It was fun to listen to in this episode, so that was pretty cool.
Are you saying I'm not subtle?
As has happened this entire season, we get a couple of interviews with cast members.
Right, and we have a new one with Simmons. Not Fitzsimmons Simmons, but the actor that plays Mac Simmons.
Yeah, Henry Simmons.
Henry Simmons.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a read if you want to see it. And like I said, they've been putting these out all season for the different cast members. But really the highlight is they ask him, doesn't Mac want to work on Lola? Is that going to happen? And he's like, oh, I want to work on her so bad. It's a flying car. Of course Mac wants to work on this.
Yeah, of course he does. And I just want to point out again that Agent 13 got to touch Lola last week and I was totally okay with it.
That's because Coulson wasn't around.
That sounds like innuendo to me.
Yeah, take it how you want. It'll go both ways there. Yeah, absolutely. But talking about girls in, or ladies in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we also have another interview as well.
Yeah, Adrienne Palicki also has an interview. She plays Mockingbird, of course.
Yes, as Bobby Morris. And both those interviews are available. You'll see them in the show notes, but go to comicbookresources.com and you can hit them up there. And there was also another interesting article on comicbook.com that came up this past week since we recorded. And it's interesting speculation. I don't know if it'll turn out or not, but the title of the article is Will Civil War Launch on Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah. So remember a few episodes ago, I don't remember how many because I don't remember time anymore, when Fran Kranz, who has worked with Joss Whedon before, you might remember him as Topher in Dollhouse, and I can't remember his character's name right now, but the stoner guy in Cabin in the Woods, but he tweeted, Mockingbird, Robbie Baldwin, S.H.I.E.L.D. soon. And we explained who Robbie Baldwin was. He was Speedball in the comics, and he was the catalyst for Civil War. He caused, in kind of directly and indirectly, the explosion that led to people wanting the Superhero Registration Act. So people are theorizing that if this is true, if he actually does get cast, or if Speedball in general gets cast on the show, that it is a hint that they're going to be beginning the whole Civil War thing on S.H.I.E.L.D. and then moving that, you know, you do see that kind of friction starting in the trailers and the leaked scenes that we've seen for Avengers 2. And then that'll carry through to the rest of the movies until Cap 3. But it's all conjecture. We'll see. I really just want Fran Kranz on the show. So
I love him so much. I would watch him in anything.
He's great. He is really good. Have you seen him in Much Ado About Nothing?
I haven't seen Much Ado About Nothing yet.
Oh, it's on Netflix, or at least it was a while ago, but it's pretty good.
It's on the list.
It's good. It's fun.
Yeah, we're talking about Haley here. She's got Top Gun, Skyfall. What else you got to watch there?
Highlander.
Yeah, Highlander. Yeah, that's right. A bunch of good stuff.
A bunch of stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
The list is not getting any shorter.
I know. We're really looking forward to the TV hiatus here so we can get caught up a little bit. But don't get me wrong. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a really good. I'm so glad we're podcasting on it because it is such a good show this season. Also, moving on from the Civil War and into another Marvel property, we have something about Doctor Doom.
Yeah. So the good news is that Doctor Doom is going to be in the Fantastic Four movie, which you'd expect because he's their big villain.
Right.
The possibly not so great news is that he's not going to be Victor Von Doom, ruler of Latveria, which is how we all know and love him. He's going to be Victor Domashev, and he's going to be a very antisocial programmer. And on blogging sites, that's where he is known as Doom.
Change is bad. I don't like it.
I don't like change, but
I wonder what his interaction with Sky is going to be. Oh, wrong cinema house.
It's not all connected.
Hashtag it's all connected, everything that we own.
I don't know. I like Dr. Doom because he's such an over-the-top villain sometimes, and then because of his backstory, he's also kind of sympathetic.
He is the epitome of a comic book villain, and they're trying to update him and make him hipper, and no.
No, Dr. Doom is the character that you want to be over the top. I mean...
Right.
Well, let's think about this. Do we or do we not want the Fantastic Four series to bomb so Marvel can buy them back?
Right. If it bombs, then they could possibly get the rights back. And it's not necessarily the Fantastic Four rights that are so great, which they are, but all the villains and stuff that come with them,
mm-hmm.
like the Skrulls and Galactus and the Silver Surfer, they'd get all of that stuff back too.
Nice.
That's true, but at the same time, you don't want it to just become such a joke that, you know, it becomes kind of a toxic property.
Right. But that's probably the only way Marvel is ever going to get the rights back, is if something terrible happens with it.
Yeah, or they pay enough money. We were joking about it on Gonna Geek a few months back, like 6 months back, and I said, well, would $20 billion buy it? And, you know, when you get to that level of...
That's like five times as much as they paid for Star Wars. They're not going to pay $20 billion for Fantastic Four.
Well, it depends on how they want to increase the value of the properties they already own. It's like playing a game of Monopoly, right? And you've got Park Place but not Boardwalk or vice versa or whatever. It's just all a trade.
Right, but even if they made $1 billion from every Fantastic Four movie they created, they would have to make 20 successful movies to get their money back on that. I think that's more than they'll ever pay.
Yeah.
I think $1 or $2 billion is the price range they're thinking.
Probably, but if they can get it for, I don't know, I'm not going to do negotiations for these two movie houses, but...
Yeah, they also have to expect that they'll get more than that much back, and historically, Fantastic Four movies have, I don't think, made that much.
Yeah, there's a price for everything, it's just, does it make sense for Marvel to pay it, or Disney, the mouse, whatever. So, moving on a little bit here... I'm a rocket scientist, and the next two stories are kind of in my wheelhouse. The first one is a DARPA story, and the title is Wanted: Ideas for Transforming Planes into Aircraft Carriers in the Sky. And then I believe it was comicbook.com ran the story. I can't remember who actually did, but that's how it came out in the general public that this was going on. Now, okay, DARPA isn't actually going to make a helicarrier, right?
Oh.
But they're looking for the possibility of the technology, just like they started looking into the Iron Man suit for the Army after Iron Man, and the Army actually took up the project. So they're actually working on powered suits for soldiers. So it's a very real possibility that something like this will happen in the future. Now, specifically, what DARPA is looking at is a main aircraft to be able to launch and recover smaller UAVs that they use in the battlefield and stuff like that. So I just want to point out to two historic things that go along these lines. One, and they were both in movies. One, of course, was in the Indiana Jones movies where you saw the biplanes or triplanes attached to the blimps. That was a real thing for a little while. Also, The B-39, or excuse me, the B-36 also had for a while a little plane, a little jet that would detach and go fight the fighters that were swarming around it, just like the World War II movies that you saw with the B-17s and stuff like that. And then we'll go back, link up with the mothership and hook up and then carry on like that. The problem is there was no landing gear on it. So something happened to the mothership, you were kind of screwed. It didn't really take off, no pun intended.
Good thing planes never crash.
Yeah, I know. So we've done this in the past. They've actually been tested. It's been done. And it's a very real possibility that something like this could eventually happen. Whether or not it's a helicarrier, I don't know, but it could be an aircraft. Absolutely.
I'm just wondering what kind of fuel requirements a helicarrier would have. Because that is a massive hunk of metal that you're trying to keep up in the air.
Right. And that is the very first thing that came to my attention and came into my head is how you got those big blades. That's going to take a lot of fuel to move them. And I thought, well, of course, nuclear power. But then you've got nuclear power plants flying overhead. I don't know how safe that's really going to be.
That's why you fly it over enemy territory.
Just take off, nuke the site from over. It's the other way to be sure, right?
Yeah. Right.
So we'll see what happens. I think there's some legitimacy to this. I mean, it's basically air-to-air refueling is what they're looking at, except for flying the UAVs into the cargo hold of a plane instead of refueling them on the wingtips and stuff like that. So I don't know. We'll see. It's a DARPA plan. It's not the Air Force. It's not any of the other services. So they're just looking at the basic technology and seeing if it's mature enough to happen. Also, another story that came our way, and I definitely want some help chiming in on this, but it was a Wired story. It's gotten a lot of attention in the last 24 hours. It says, finally, science explains why no one can lift Thor's hammer. So, in the Avengers trailer, of course, we've seen the extended scene with everybody trying to move it, and then Captain America kind of moves it a little bit. And there's the postulation that you have voice recognition and nanites and biometrics on the handle that determine if you're worthy or not to move it. Okay. Well, they came up with the idea that why the hammer doesn't move when it doesn't want to is it has its ability to exert gravitons at will and make itself as heavy or as light as it needs to be in order to get the job done. So that's the basic explanation. It's as simple as it gets. Read the article. It's kind of fun read. But what do you two ladies think about it?
I have seen people speculating about this on Tumblr for
decades,
basically since I joined Tumblr and on LiveJournal before that. But yeah, people were theorizing this. You know, there are a lot of science geeks and people who are like actually science professionals who are geeks and hang out on blog sites and like to postulate about this, as you can see from this article. So yeah, I had seen a lot of speculation about, well, basically what this article postulates. And I think that really it's just having it be on an actual website instead of just somebody's Tumblr.
Yeah, but it's on Wired.
But no, it's, I know it's on Wired, but no, it's definitely worth a read. And actually, okay, at the bottom, it says that the author, Jim Kakelios, I'm probably mispronouncing that, he has also written a book called The Physics of Superheroes and The Amazing Story of Quantum Mechanics. Those are two different books, by the way. And the thing is, with books like The Physics of Superheroes, you can find lots of books like these, like The Philosophy of the Matrix, and all these people who are actually very knowledgeable in their fields, but who have these very geeky interests. And so they put out these collections like this.
Right. Science of Battlestar Galactica is a good one, too.
Yes, that's a good one. So if you ever find these books in a store, take a look at them, because sometimes you'll find some really good speculation and just interesting little factoids and stuff in there. It's definitely worth a look. And people say you can't learn anything from comics.
Yeah. I keep saying it's going to get people interested in technology and the sciences in the future, because a lot of this stuff is in the realm of plausibility. Heck, when Iron Man original Iron Man movie came out in 2008, it was on the cusp of what was plausible with movie making technology, but it was talking about stuff that was physically kind of possible, not maybe in the size that they're talking about, but it's possible. And so it gets people thinking about, hey, what can actually happen? So it's great. Now, Guardians of the Galaxy, probably not so much, but you know, you gotta ride the line sometimes with some of these superhero movies in the what's the realm of the plausible and what's not. But heck, you know, if it gets your analytical mind thinking, you know, so much the better. It's kind of like playing video games. It's the old hand-eye coordination. You got to work that out, right? Talking about the Avengers again, we did get that little extended trailer. We have the link in the notes, so go ahead and...
Right. It's not a whole lot of new material, but just a little bit more. So you've got to go watch the new one.
So I am a little bit confused as to how YouTube is actually dealing with this, because at one point in time, I did see 78 million views, and now it's down to 58 million. So I don't know if the counter restarted when they put the new trailer on. I have no idea. But they're saying that the link on YouTube says it's 2 weeks old, but it's definitely new footage. So I don't know how YouTube does that. Also, we have some, I guess, Guardians of the Galaxy Blu-ray bonus features coming at us.
Right. Just like right before the Captain America Blu-ray came out, they started leaking some of the features. They're doing that with Guardians of the Galaxy too. So we've got three featurettes out so far, and we'll probably see more in the next week or two before the official release on December 9th. The best part of this one is Chris Pratt in the third one talking about dancing and having the dance off, and then you see him dancing.
I did see that. That's great.
But yeah, there's three featurettes. We've got them linked in our show notes, so you should go check those out.
Awesome.
So we did have after a one-week hiatus where we had that wonderful Marvel 75-year from pole to pop and exposition of Agent 13, we now have a new episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the seventh episode, The Writing on the Wall, and we get to find out what's actually going on with a couple of things, Tahiti and what's going on with the writing. So,
and what is going on with the writing is that is totally Atalan, which is the city of the Inhumans.
Totally Atalan. Which, okay, let's just cover this just at the top so that it's out of the way. Atalan, if you go and you look it up, it is the city of the Inhumans. And I remember we're talking about it with Wing, and he was like, yeah, they're on the moon right now, right? Atalan has previously been both underwater and, dun dun dun, in the Himalayas. Where was Sky found? China.
In the Hunan province.
Yes, which I seem to remember trying to look up how close that was to Nepal. Or how close that was to just the Himalayan mountains.
For the general American, it's right next door.
Right.
It's like for people outside of America, Dallas and New York, it's a two-hour drive. Not really.
Right. I don't think they're particularly close, but, you know, we don't know a lot about Chinese geography, so it's fine.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not particularly good with geography in general. So I have a terrible sense of direction.
Me too.
So just saying right before we get into it much further, so I was rewatching the episode tonight before we podcasted, and my son sat down next to me, Sandrock Kai. And so he's watching the film with us, and we get to the end, and he sees the train set up as a city, and he finally sees it as a city. I'm like, oh, just wait till you get to the end. And so he sees, he's like, oh, dude, that's Atlantis. Now they're going to bring in Aquaman. I was like, oh, no. And he's like, Dad, I'm kidding. It's DC.
Well, for a long time, the city of Atalan was in this dome, this impenetrable dome. So all the Inhumans were trapped inside. And then there were some people on the outside that were trapped outside of the city. So I wonder if they're going to bring up that part of the storyline.
I don't know. It's all cool because this isn't really big lore that I know of.
Right. This is kind of a deep cut even for Marvel fans.
Yeah, but it's cool. Mm-hmm. You got to admit that the writing that we've been seeing so much, so long, was actually a 3D version. It wasn't just 2D. And, oh, by the way, that's why Mr. Thompson, I believe, right?
Right. Hank Thompson.
Yeah. That's why Hank wasn't going nuts, because he had created it and he had saw it. So he's like, okay, I'm fine now. So that was cool.
Mm-hmm. This is why everyone should learn how to weld.
Exactly. And I'm wondering what kind of welding they're going to need in Avengers or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or something like that.
Right. Oh, it's funny because this guy was in the 4400. And in that show, he played a government agency who worked with gifted people.
Yes.
A government agent. Yeah.
God, that's where I knew him from.
Yeah. See,
as soon as I started seeing him in the flashbacks, I was like, oh, this guy's not going to be dead yet.
He was like a priest or something on like V or...
Yeah. Yes, he was.
Something I can clearly picture him in, like, a priest outfit.
He was a priest on V, absolutely, yep.
Okay. But yeah, oh, it's been so long since I watched 4400.
You know, with all these comic book shows out right now, and we talked about it before, all these secondary character actors, it is fantastic seeing them again and again. This is not the first one. We've seen Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. just really brings them in one or two every episode, and it is great seeing these people again. You're like, oh, and you never know who's going to stick because it is a connected universe. So somebody that shows up in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. could show up in one of the movies or in one of the Netflix things in the Street Fighters and stuff. So it's all
right.
Great.
You never know who's going to hang around, and you never know who's going to be unceremoniously offed in the first episode they appear in.
Yeah, brought that up this week on Gotham.
Still bitter.
Because they were talking about, oh, what's her name coming in? Marina Baccarin coming into Gotham. And then I brought up, well, you know, at least it isn't Lucy Lawless coming in for an episode. And they're like, ooh, yeah, burn. But
too soon, bro.
Yeah,
too soon.
I know. I know. So we do have a lot more to talk about with this episode.
Before we get away from Adelaide.
Yeah, go ahead.
Next week's episode is called The Things We Bury. The episode after that is called All Ye Who Enter, which I am guessing is, or Ye Who Enter Here, sorry, which I'm guessing is them arriving at the city and thinking about going in. And then that's the mid-season finale, as far as I can tell.
That sounds great. And I love the homage to Stargate Atlantis, because that just sounds so much like Atlantis to me.
It's not dissimilar.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So, yeah, I don't know where to start. Sky's reference to It's All Connected at the beginning. That was funny.
Yeah.
I don't know what to think because Ward
brings it's all connected because we are Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah,
that's great. She actually said it on the show.
Yeah. It's like the whole title line shout out, except it was a hashtag.
They said the thing.
They said the thing.
There was so many little one-liners in this episode, though. I mean, this is what makes this different from other shows, because it's just fun with the dialogue that happens. Like, she says, everlasting gobstopper of firewalls. And Mac or Trip says something about, what kind of creeper horror show am I in, or something like that.
That was Mac.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Trip hasn't said anything this season.
He was talking. Not as much as I wish that he would.
Yeah, he wanted to shoot Ward. They should have let him.
Yeah. But it's not quite what you would think of as traditionally Whedon-esque. If you go back and you look at Buffy and Angel, especially, with the pop culture references and everything. Mm-hmm. But then every now and then, they will have that element to lighten the mood a little.
Yeah. And you kind of need that, especially in a show that will show you again, which I never wanted to see, the whole mind erasing thing. Marvel, ABC, whoever I need to talk to, I don't ever want to see that again, all right? I just don't.
Good job. That was seriously good. Like I said, I spent the entire month of October watching horror movies. Well done.
No, don't want to see it. The whole cut the mind open, have the brain out there and the little things, the electrical impulsing everything. It was just, don't want to see it. But
yeah, just like physically rewiring the brain.
Really, the hardest part to watch is Coulson shouting, let me die, let me die.
It wasn't just him, all of them.
See, the hardest part for me was watching him see himself in, what's his face? I keep wanting to call him Carver because I was watching with the captions.
Oh, Sebastian Derek?
Yeah, Derek. But before they revealed his name on the captions, it kept calling him Carver.
I know. Oh, that's so freaky.
So I was like, well, at first I was like, well, that's a really apt name. But no, it turns out that that was not his name at all. Although it would have been an apt one.
It's interesting to know that pain is what brought these memories up. And so the machine that Coulson is in and was in last year, it wasn't theta brainwave stimulation.
No, I think it might have just been for him because he said that it didn't work on the others. I think it might have just been because they said that he was already off.
A psycho.
Yeah. That his brain might have already been miswired.
Yeah.
So the pathways might not have been
normal.
I don't want to say normal, but because Yeah, the brain is a complicated thing, and there really is no such thing as normal in terms of your brain. There's just a baseline. But the way that this guy was wired was harmful.
Yes. I mean, he was literally in a dark portion of S.H.I.E.L.D., as Coulson admitted, as an assassin.
And they said that even before Tahiti, he had done some really, really bad things and gotten himself in trouble.
Right. So, honestly, because of what happened, because of the revelations last year, I really didn't want to go back to Tahiti. Kind of considered it a closed case in my mind, but knew that we were going to have to run that thread on the body. And they mentioned, okay, let me back up for a second. They ran this episode as a flashback to how Tahiti actually operated, which I guess in the grand scheme of things, it kind of gives you closure. You hear the story and you see what actually happened there. You see what Coulson went through and you see that he was like, no, this is wrong. And then it happened to him. So it brings out that pain again of what happened to Phil and everything surrounding it. So, okay, we got that again, or we got that story played out. But one thing that we did learn was that the alien had been there for thousands of years.
Yeah, been on Earth for thousands of years.
Yeah. So that was interesting.
You know, at the end, after he's like, we've got to shut this program down, he also says we have to destroy the host. And I was like, that seems kind of like a nuclear option, because you don't know what else this host, or whatever you want to call it, might be useful for.
Well, I think that's kind of why he
wants to shut it down.
I think that's why he wanted to shut it down, was because, especially because of the theory that that other scientist was putting forth, which, by the way, might I add, is complete and utter BS. Genetic memories, in terms of how they were postulating it, have been theorized before, but that theory has fallen way, 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 way out of favor by pretty much all reputable scientists these days.
Well, you forgot about space magic.
But yes, as somebody who works with genetic material and who tries to read up on all this stuff, the whole genetic memory thing just never fails to bug me when I see it used as a plot. But comic book science, I will try to look past it.
So basically, for those that don't know what we're talking about, let me see if I get this right. You're talking about, say, humans have kids, you have DNA that combines into one, and the memory of both parents is contained in that single fertilized cell, and it just permeates for generations. So the memories of everything that's happened to all your ancestors are contained in your genetics.
Yeah. Okay, basically think of the plot to Assassin's Creed and how they go back through somebody's genetics to find the memory of their ancestors. That's not possible. But what some people have postulated is that, you know how with certain species, like mice tend to be afraid of snakes, and people tend to be afraid of
snakes,
the dark,
loud noises in the dark.
Yeah. And it's been postulated that those are genetic memories. I am not an expert on that particular subject. It's not like I have a doctorate and that did a thesis on it or anything, but I tried to read up on the theories and stay current with all that. But from what I understand, it's more complicated than just, oh, your genes remember everything. Genes are magic. Yay.
Now, I do remember Cosmos, the latest round, the Neil deGrasse Tyson re-envisioned. And I just have to say it. Neil deGrasse Tyson, Pluto is a planet. Leave it alone. Okay. So Neil deGrasse Tyson was narrating, and I think it was the very first one. I was talking about the evolution of people and the fact that pattern recognition was a survival thing, and it was a capability that was ingrained into the surviving humans because you survive better. But that's not a memory. That's a capability.
That's not a memory. That is a capability. Yeah. And actually, it's really interesting. I was just listening to somebody talk about this earlier today, that this is very important in primates, and that you're rewarded for being able to quickly recognize patterns. And it's not just, oh, a physical reward, like, oh, hey, I recognize something, I get a treat. It's, oh, I recognize somebody, you know, oh, I remember you because you have blue eyes or whatever. And you get this rush of dopamine because, hey, job well done, I remembered something. Hmm. So it's a little more intangible than a physical reward, although it is still technically a physical reward because it's something that's going on inside your body. Mm-hmm. But no, this is actually something that has been selected for. And then there are the cases where this, for whatever reason, goes wrong and you have people with prosopagnosia, which is a disorder, I'm pretty sure I'm pronouncing that right, where you don't recognize faces, like individual faces.
Right. Supposedly Brad Pitt has that.
Penn Jillette has it.
Mm. Right. There was a character in the latest season of Arrested Development who had it.
Mm. Yes.
Well, okay, Lauren, let me ask you this, since this is not my field of study. Okay, so genetic memory has pretty much been proven to be false. What about the fact of a host, a parasite, like a virus, rather than rewriting genetic code? What about that possibility?
Okay, well, viruses can actually rewrite your genetic code. I'm sorry if I start to seriously nerd out here, but I just got done writing a short story about this.
Sweet.
So this is where you have things like retroviruses, which is what HIV is. And what these do is they will go into you and they will attack, like in the case of HIV, they'll go into your white blood cells and attack the nucleus of those cells so that instead of when they divide and they produce more active white blood cells to act as defense in your body, they will produce more virus cells and they will destroy those blood cells. So it basically causes your body to sabotage itself. There's a number of other similar kinds of viruses like that. Like actually, human papillomavirus is a retrovirus, which is why it's so hard to treat.
Yes.
And why it never like really goes away.
Right.
And you see this with cats, feline immunodeficiency virus. And this is actually a thing. The thing is, it doesn't rewrite as dramatically as you would see on TV. However, scientists have been experimenting with retroviruses as a means of genetic therapy, like trying to replace damaged code in somebody's cells.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is actually some of the stuff that I don't actually really help with it, but I will help clone some of the stuff that they're trying to insert. Mm. So, yeah.
Yeah, I've got a coworker who has a son that can't use their legs, not very well. And he's only, I can't remember, 3 or 4 or something like that. And they're hoping to get on one of these trials that will help rewrite his code to help his nervous system heal and be able to use that. So
yeah, it's still really in early phases still. I mean, for all the time that you might think, oh, well, I've been hearing about this for years and years and years. Yeah, but this is how long it takes to try to get something successfully done. And then it takes even longer to be able to go into human trials. And then it takes even longer than that to be able to actually put something on the market as a viable treatment. So the fact that they're trying to go in for human trials is just the product of a lot of research.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually extremely exciting.
Yeah, it is an extremely exciting time in medical science, especially after we map the human genome. But enough of the science-y talk. We have an episode to talk about, which
yeah,
is great. I'm glad we've talked about this. But let's see.
Yeah, sorry to nerd out there, but
go for it.
Yeah.
No, actually, it's very appropriate because in this episode, in a conversation between Mac and Fitz, they came up with the fact that Fitz's memories could still be there in backup files.
Yes. Okay. This is another thing that I was really happy about. They mentioned that memories aren't really destroyed, that
you just lose the connections.
The pathways are just lost. Yeah. You just lose the connections. And mostly this is true. This is not always the case. Like you'll see in certain cases of brain damage, like lesions and tumors, or with like Alzheimer's.
That physically destroy parts of the brain.
Yeah, physically destroy parts of your brain. But what we've seen with the show, where presumably what they did with Coulson, where they went in and did, I guess, microsurgery on him to remap those connections, which that would be kind of awesome if we could actually do that. It would make certain things just so much easier. Very traumatic looking. I will give them that. But it would be so awesome.
They could just program us all with kung fu skills.
That would be cool. We could actually have the downloaded skills from the Matrix. I would love that. But it would also, oh my God, there's just so many possibilities. I just want to like talk for hours.
Right.
But no, I'll get back to the episode. The main point is that perhaps, I'm betting what we're probably going to see is Fitz trying to use that machine to try to memory himself back to how he was. And it's probably going to go wrong.
And we're going to get evil Fitz.
Or we're going to get something. Probably evil fits, possibly her even broken. Worse fits. Ugh. Oh, no.
Yeah, that would suck.
I just made myself sad.
That would suck really hard. You know, I did not want that to happen at all, you know, coming from last season. But since we've had the fits that we've had for a while, and you know he's hurting, and you know he wants to fix it, or he wants Simmons to help him fix it, or something like that, you know something's going to happen. And I'm looking forward to the happy ending, but... it's the Whedons. I mean, you know, there's not going to be a good happy ending for everybody. So, unfortunately, I think your
science babies.
Yeah, there you go. Your science babies are in for a rough ride. More to come. We'll see what goes on there.
Also, a little bit of friction between science baby and science babysitter,
right?
Yes. They were going at it there, weren't they?
Well, it was more like... Simmons got a little bit growly at Mac.
She did. And who do you think was right in that situation? I have my opinion. Who do you think was right?
A little bit of both. It just depends on the situation.
I was going more towards Mac myself.
So I'm wondering if Simmons is going to help Fitz try and fix his brain, and Mac is going to be the one that stops her.
That could be. You know, Mac went through a lot in this episode. He really did. He was there to hold Coulson down. He was coming to terms with the fact that Coulson had something wrong with him. I don't think he fully grasps until the end that Coulson had a little bit of alien in him. And he was the spokesman for the fan out there that was screaming, you know, why is everybody following him if they know something's wrong? Well, I think we saw a reaction here, and I don't think Mac is 100% okay with it still.
I don't think he is.
Right. And he doesn't know that Skye has the alien juice in her too.
No, he does not. Of course, she wasn't affected as well as everybody else. And one of the seven, the ABC article about the seven great things happening in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this year, was the scene of Coulson breaking it to Skye that she was part alien. And when she said epic fail, and go back and watch that again. It's going to be a pivotal scene in what happens here, not only with Skye herself, but of everybody around her as well. Also, let's not forget about... Okay, I wrote a note in my notes of where exactly did the chalkboard writing from last season come from? Of what we now know is the city, but at that time it was a two-dimensional writing on a chalkboard. Where exactly did that come from?
Probably the same place as the carving in the back of that painting.
Yeah, I guess. Because Hydra had a lot more resources and had a lot more time looking into it. Okay, I'll go with that.
Right, and how long ago did the Tahiti project happen with that first group of subjects?
Long enough for that one guy to have a kid.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
And that kid was, what, seven-ish?
Yeah.
So we're probably saying that was at least 10 years ago.
Well, okay. Iron Man came out in 2008 and it's 2014 right now. So that's 6 years. But the kid was older than that. So are we talking real time here or are we talking comic book time? I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know because they said, oh, well, this was to revive a fallen Avenger. But...
and the Avenger Initiative didn't start until 2008.
Unless Fury was trying to recruit before then and was just unsuccessful.
Yeah, so either way, it's been a few years at least. So that's enough time for some carvings and things to start trickling out into the world.
I thought maybe they got a hold of Sebastian and...
oh, and actually the one that's on the back of a painting, that might have been a piece that the art instructor had. And she carved into the back of it and then sold the piece.
Well, they said that somebody that had died in that fire at that church was also a Tahiti survivor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I wasn't paying close enough attention.
Okay, in the tavern that Ward goes into in Boston... it was called Gold Bricks. Does that mean anything? I'm just searching for meaning in all these stupid little things.
Fury used to call people Gold Bricks all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's like one of his 60s insults.
There you go.
I don't see how that would be insulting.
Well, because they weren't allowed to say actual curse words.
I know, but you can think of something more insulting than calling somebody...
I think it's supposed to be like you're stupid. Like your brain is just a brick of gold, not an actual functioning brain.
Well, then why not call them something less valuable?
Like lead bricks or something?
Like butt bricks.
They can't say the word butt in the 60s.
No, not in the 60s. But they can say asshat on TV today. Let me tell you.
Yeah, they can. Okay, so no, talking about Ward, we got to go back for a second and talk about his stupid dead man switch.
Yes.
Okay, they show him with the dead man switch in his hand, and then for the rest of the episode, he's using both hands to like grip things and pick things up and stuff.
I know.
How can it be a dead man switch? I mean, we know it wasn't, but why would they think that it was?
He's strapped with C4. It's a suicide vest. Not necessarily a dead man switch, but dead man switch sounds cooler. I don't know. Whatever.
Whatever.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fail.
It was just every time I saw it, I was like, that is a terrible idea because then he's going to have to hold it down the whole ride. And
that he doesn't hold it down the whole ride.
I don't know about you, but my hands would get tired.
He falls asleep and blows himself up.
Or like he goes to scratch his face and moves his thumb. Like...
Yeah, he just like forgets it's there for a second. Like,
oh, I guess I'm holding a pin. Let me click it. Oh, sh**.
It could be a little switch. You could switch it on and off, maybe. I don't know.
Like the thermal detonator from Star Wars.
Okay, so let's talk about Ward a little bit more. Him handing over Bakshi, do you think... Okay, there's multiple layers that could be going on here because it could still be a Coulson plan to have Ward lead what's left of S.H.I.E.L.D. to the main parts or get intel on Hydra. It could be.
I don't trust Ward at all. Not even a little bit.
Yeah, at this point, I'm not sure. I don't think so.
Like, I don't think he's working with Hydra. I think he's got his own evil plans to be his own evil emperor.
I do agree with Sky that Ward is acting like a cat who's dropping off half-dead animals at her doorstep. Because that's exactly what I thought of when I saw that.
So you've got the layer that Ward might still be working directly for Coulson. You've got the layer of...
I don't think Coulson would want him to burn down his brother's house again.
Right.
Okay, I'm just saying plausibility here.
Okay.
So you've got that layer that could be there. You've got the layer that he put Bakshi as a gift to Coulson as an plant. Like, so Bakshi literally can get close to Coulson. Like, they were planning something because Ward knows where the base is. He knows where the playground is. He escaped from there. He can find it again. So there's that possibility. And then there's the possibility that Ward just wants to kill his brother. So who knows what's going on? You can't say for certain. Okay, what do you two ladies think what's going on? Because it could be anything.
I think he really hates his brother.
Uh-huh.
And I think he just wants to rule the world.
I'm not even sure he wants to rule the world.
Because he was doing everything up to last season for Garrett.
Yeah, and Garrett's gone. And I don't know. I think he might be on some kind of like weird, evil, soul-searching road trip now.
I think he's going after his brother.
Well, definitely, yes. I mean, we saw him with the 3 containers of presumably gasoline and a thing of matches and a shovel and that newspaper with a picture of his brother on it. So I think his target's pretty clear there. And we know that he's already tried to burn his brother down inside a house once.
We did get the answer to the question, was S.H.I.E.L.D. going to be blamed for his escape? No, S.H.I.E.L.D. was not blamed, but it was kept quiet.
Which does make you wonder, again, is Ward's brother working for Hydra? Because if he wanted to actually get Ward in custody for good, noble reasons, you'd want a nationwide manhunt going on. Or at least you'd want more people than just this tiny little...
rogue organization.
Yeah, rogue organization. You'd want the CIA, the FBI, whatever mercenaries you can get on it. You'd want the good people with a lot of funding.
Or maybe send some cash to S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, at this point, it's almost like S.H.I.E.L.D.'s being set up to fail, even.
Well, it's been that way the entire time we've had S.H.I.E.L.D., because Hydra's been on the inside, so...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so at the end where Ward is shaving, for a second, I thought he was going to shave his beard into a goatee, and I was like giggling.
When I was watching with Scott, he's like, oh, leave a porn stash.
Yeah, that was interesting. Since I recently grew a beard, yeah, that whole beard trimming thing is definitely
he definitely would have been evil for a good long while if he had a goatee.
Yes, that's exactly right. He could still grow one back, but it's not going to be crazy basement Ward anymore. He's clean cut Ward out to get something, so.
Yeah, goodbye beard of evil. Hello. What should we call this look?
Baby face sociopath?
All right.
Yeah, it's almost a skinhead, but not quite there. I don't know. Okay, what else are we missing, ladies?
Corporate evil.
Yes, there we go. Suit and tie villain.
Corpe DM.
Corpse Diem. That was a good line. I liked Corpse Diem.
Seize the dead. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That is not what that translates to.
Apparently, Coulson doesn't like Anya.
He just didn't talk about it.
I did like when you have that cutaway from Ward shaving and you see Sky reaching for a coffee cup and you see that cat postcard or whatever it was framed in the background. It's like, that's how you can tell you're in Coulson's office. All the cat memorabilia. Nice little touch there.
So she's getting ready to hack Bakshi's cell and she's like, I hope he wasn't into selfies. And I'm like, no, she should have said, I hope he's not into sexting. And it's just full of pics.
Yeah, no thanks.
See, I was hoping that it was full of, and I think I said this on Twitter, I just wanted it to be him recording himself lip syncing to Taylor Swift songs. Just like anything that you'd least expect him to be singing along with, but him like singing and dancing to it ridiculously.
Or it's like his Supernatural vlog.
Oh my God, yes, that would be amazing. Destiel forever.
Wincest.
What else you got, Haley?
Coulson has standing staff meetings, just like Admiral Rowe.
Yeah, they're called stand-ups, by the way, for those not familiar.
I think maybe everybody was just standing just in case they had to run.
No, they're actually made to make them short.
Yep, because if you have to stand, you don't have a lot of comments.
Yeah, that's right.
That is actually good policy.
Yep, so that's why it's called a stand-up. Lauren, what do you got?
Mostly just complaints about bad science, but I think we've already covered those.
Yeah. Well, it's a comic TV show. We're going to run into that from time to time.
I know.
Sometimes it'll be good. Sometimes it'll be bad. And, you know, if the story's good, who cares? And I think the story...
If the story's good, I will try my best to overlook it. But as you can see, I do not always succeed.
Because the story in this one was good. I mean, it was all...
Oh, it was. It was really good. It's just that along with the you only use 10% of your brain, the genetic memory thing is one of my push-button issues.
You know what would be great is if they like got some Hydra piece of tech and they were like, okay, Mac Fitz, we need you to backwards engineer this. And they open it up and they're like, it's full of magnets and transistors. I don't understand why it's working.
That would be amazing. Oh my God, maybe we'll get magnets and transistors with Agent Carter.
Maybe. I hope so.
I think you gotta have to. You absolutely have to.
It's gonna be amazing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did we forget anything else?
That was all my notes, but I didn't take very good notes this time.
Mm. Yeah, it's been... We're entering into the harried holiday season, so we're going to do our best to come at you every week, and we will, absolutely. It'll just... We don't know how much time we'll have to spend in show prep. This has been a great episode. I enjoyed it. I think this series has been getting better in the season every episode, and I can't wait for the mid-season finale. Whatever happens, I think it's going to be awesome.
Yep. Agreed.
The last thing I'll say is when Sky answers the phone, what does she say?
Hail Hydra.
Hail Hydra. So,
well, it was Bakshi's phone, so right. You got to keep the cover up.
I know, but it was second nature to her. She just picked the phone, said, Hail Hydra. It's like,
well, she knew it was going to be somebody from Hydra, and they knew that Bakshi was missing.
I mean, seriously, who else is going to call Bakshi?
Whoever he's been sexting.
Yeah. Oh, good point. Good point. Which might be someone from Hydra.
Might be the law enforcement if he's been sexting somebody that's underage. You never know. All right. Well, we did have a lot of fun watching this episode. We're looking forward to next episode. Actually, we're wall to wall until the week after Christmas, right?
Maybe. I'm not sure at this point.
Yeah, we're kind of, whatever. We'll take it one week at a time.
We'll figure it out before we reach the horizon. We know we've got an episode next week to talk about. We'll see what happens after that.
We'll come up with a plan once we reach the frontier.
What's that?
The frontier. A little bit of The Last Starfighter for you folks. All right. So next week, hopefully, we haven't skipped a beat, and we will see Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode 8 of season 2, The Things We Bury. Don't forget, we have a bunch of ways to contact us. If you go to our website, which is legendsofshield.com. Up in the top right-hand corner, you'll see icons of all three of us. If you click on that, you will find our email addresses. Go ahead, send us an email. That would be awesome. I know mine is StargatePioneer@GunnaGeek.com, and I think you ladies also have like Haley at GunnaGeek.com and Lauren at GunnaGeek.com. So
yep.
Those are all available. We do have a voicemail line. It is toll-free, 844-THE-BUS-1 or 844-843-2871. We have a Facebook. We have Twitter, Tumblr, YouTube. It's all Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. search. You'll find us. Also, we do have forums, and there is a lot of talk going on there of not just Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but a ton of other topics. So go there, see what's going on. It is fantastic. I want to say thank you very much for those of you who have been listening and talking on Mixlr chat with us. I know Adam was there with us, and we've been chatting back and forth. It's very cool. And thank you for all of our live listeners. We do stream when we record on Mixlr, but if you go to live.legendsofshield.com, you will get to the Mixlr page. And we generally record Wednesday nights at 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central Time.
Ish.
This has been our 50th episode of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. So thank you very much for sticking with us for 50. Woohoo!
Woot!
Yay!
We'll have a fun another 50 and get to that century mark. So thank you very much for sticking with us.
Yeah, I want to thank everybody that commented on our Facebook post this week. Richard and GPR, was that me? No.
Was he?
I guess I'm not thinking myself. That was my co-host Kier, who was seizing control of the GPR page.
I'd like to thank everybody who's commented to us on Twitter, including Andy, Adonna Girl, and Jay, just in general, and when we do our live tweeting. It's so much fun interacting with y'all. We seriously do appreciate it, and we love hearing from you.
Yeah, we definitely love hearing. Star Saber came up to us on the forum this past week. That was excellent. And Jay sent the email with his top 5 picks of Marvel characters. That was awesome. So thank you very much. Seriously, thank you. It is, you guys make this really fun. The Marvel Universe is fun. So I'm glad I am enjoying it, and I'm glad you are enjoying it, you meaning you listening right now. And we do enjoy the Marvel Universe, enjoy with you enjoying Marvel. Okay, so
the things got away from me a bit, didn't it?
A little bit intentional. So until next week, I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
Woohoo, 50. Bye-bye. See you next week, guys.
Bye.
50!
You're so old.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to GunnaGeek.com and you'll find all of our contact information in other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com, where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin McLeod and can be found at incompetech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual host and do not represent Legends, Stream, or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation. No infringement is intended.